If a picture paints 1,000 words, then I saw a picture this week that paints a complicated reality that we all need to deal with. The picture was a screenshot of two different places on New Year's Eve. The two different places were New York City and the State of Israel. New York City, New Year's Eve, fireworks. Israel, New Year's Eve, taking fire. The glare of rockets and of missiles that even now Hamas is firing into Israel. New York City on New Year's Eve, people on the streets reveling outside in public. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, Happy New Year's! Kiss, kiss, hug, hug. Israel on New Year's Eve, Israelis in the bomb shelter again. How do we deal with this asymmetry? And how do we deal with a different problem, a serious problem that we need to mention now, which is that so many of us just want to be done with this war. We're fatigued with this war. We're tired of talking about the war. We're tired of talking about Hamas. We're tired of talking about anti-Semitism, and we just want normalcy. Just want to go back to normal life. I feel this very deeply myself. The end of December, Shira and I went on a plane to the Bay Area, San Francisco and Oakland, to see our adult children. And it's 60 degrees, and it's lovely, and it's sunny, and we're taking hikes with our grown children, and we're enjoying meals with our grown children. And we're not talking about Hamas. And we're not talking about campus anti-Semitism. And we're not talking about Israel at war. I'm with my wife and children just enjoying life, and I'm thinking two different thoughts, and I'm feeling two very different feelings. The first one is, wow, I've really missed this. I've just really missed this. I just really missed life. Just an ordinary day. And it feels so good. Normalcy feels so good. And I just want more normalcy. And second, a wave of guilt. Who am I to crave normalcy? Israelis don't get to push pause. My brother and sister-in-law in Israel, my nieces and nephews, especially those in Sahal, don't get to push pause. Hundreds of thousands of Israeli soldiers in Gaza and up north don't get to push pause. Yeah, it's been a long time. Yeah, it's been a grind. Yeah, they're exhausted. Yeah, they'd love to get back to their life. They don't get to push pause. Soldiers who have fallen and their families, there's no pause. The hostages and their families, there's no pause. So Israelis are living ongoing trauma. How then do I get to push pause? Desire for normalcy and guilt for that very desire at the same time. And I know that I'm not alone, because in this first week since the end of the old year, this first week of the new year, I've heard from so many of you who said their own version of what I felt, which was, I was on the beach and somewhere warm. I was with my family somewhere warm. I was on vacation with loved ones, and it was the first time since October 7th, and it felt so good. And then I felt so guilty. And I've gotten a different kind of feedback as well. I've gotten the following feedback. Rabbi, I have to tell you. Now, first of all, whenever anybody prefaces something with that, I know it's going to be tough. Rabbi, I have to tell you. And I was bracing myself. Rabbi, I have to tell you that when you were gone, I really loved the sermons. Got a bunch of that. Rabbi, I have to tell you that when you were gone, I really loved the sermons because they weren't about Israel. And all of my sermons since October 7th have been about Israel. So how do we process this complicated moment? We're tired from all this war. We're tired from the campus anti-Semitism. We're tired from the Jew hatred. But the war is ongoing, and they don't get to push pause, and we feel guilty. How do we process the split reality of American and Israeli Jews? So as you know, tomorrow is January the 7th, which means that it is exactly 3 months Yahrzeit from October 7th. I think October 7th and January 7th each create and embody a different kind of energy. October 7th is the energy of an urgent crisis. That is to say, violence happened, and what it summoned forth was immediate action. And our synagogue, like so many synagogues, all of you, like so many American Jews, Jews throughout the world, people of decency throughout the world, summoned immediate action for Israel, for the IDF, for the hostages, and against anti-Semitism. That's October 7th, immediate energy for a crisis. January 7th is about something entirely different, a different existential condition, not crisis, but weariness. Weariness. Now, weariness, if you look in the dictionary, has two definitions. First definition of weariness is extreme tiredness, extreme fatigue, as in, I'm extremely tired of talking about this war. I'm extremely tired of talking about anti-Semitism. I'm extremely tired of wartime footing. And the second related definition of weariness is extreme reluctance to see or experience any more of what you're already tired of. As in, I want a break, I've had it, no more sermons about Israel. Sorry. So October 7th is about responding to crisis. January 7th, 3 months later, we're in a different place. The war is ongoing. We're in a different place. Is about weariness. How do we think about weariness? How do we think about our energy when we're tired of it all? And the truth is that both of these feelings, October 7th, January 7th, are in our portion. October 7th is in our portion because Moses is walking around and he sees the taskmaster slaying an Hebrew slave. There's violence, there's mayhem, there's a Jew's life at risk, and Moses intercedes. He offers up immediate action. That's response to a crisis. That's response to a crisis. But then, right afterwards, in fact, our Torah reading began with God commissioning Moses at the burning bush. This isn't about a moment. This is about a project. You got to go to Pharaoh, got to confront him, got to say, let my people go, lead them through, out of Egypt, through the wilderness to the promised land. That is a project, and that is weariness. And the Torah has a specific way to say weariness, which is the number 40. 40 years, which is not just 39 and 1, but 40 years of weariness is like 40 years in the wilderness where every grain of sand is the same and every day is the same, and I don't know that I can do this anymore. I'm just tapped out. I don't know that I can do another grain of sand. I don't know that I can do another day that looks like every other day. And Moses says, I cannot carry all this people by myself. It's too much for me. If you would deal thus with me, kill me rather. Kill me now. I beg you, God, let me see no more of my wretchedness. So, weariness presents its own problem. And not just for Moses in the wilderness. And not just for us with this war. But all of us will face weariness in so many different contexts all the days of our lives. We face weariness when somebody that we love is struggling physically or emotionally or cognitively, and it's not like they take two Tylenols and they feel better. It's the opposite. There is no better. It's two steps forward, two steps backward. And there's no hope of a clear and crisp solution. That's weariness. We face weariness if we're alone and lonely, and we're looking for a partner, and we've been on 1,000 bad dates, and I don't know that I can do this anymore. I don't know that I can go on 1,001 bad dates. That is weariness. We face weariness if we're lucky enough to find a partner. We want to start having a family, and it doesn't happen for us. And we try, and no mazel. And month after month, no mazel. That's weariness. I don't know that I can do this again. We face weariness if we're blessed to find somebody and we're blessed to have kids, and now you have Sa'ar Gidul Banim, what Pirkei Avot calls actually raising kids, a lot of angst. It's a lot of details. It's a lot of weariness. We face weariness if we wake up in the morning, we don't love our work. Another day, another job. I don't know how much longer I can do this job. We face weariness when we or our loved ones face the indignities and vulnerabilities of aging. Here's the thing. If you live long enough, there's a 100% chance that we or somebody that we love faces weariness. We're in the wilderness. Every day is the same. Every grain of sand is the same. And we wonder, how can I keep on doing this? That's where Moses was, in the wilderness. That's where so many of us are. That's where so many of us are now with this war. So we know what we need to do. What we need to do is somehow find the energy to keep pressing on and the perseverance. You've got to dig deep to keep on going. How to do that? Of course, I can't prescribe. How we do that is something that every one of us needs to figure out on our own, but I can tell you what's at stake. What's at stake in the weariness, what's at stake in the wilderness is our very character. Our deepest character is revealed when we somehow find the energy to show up when we no longer have energy to show up. Our deepest character is revealed when we keep making that daily call. And there is absolutely nothing new to talk about. And we're reduced to saying, what'd you have for dinner? And did you have dessert? And did you watch any programs? And have you gotten ready for bed? And you do that day after day, that's when our character is revealed. Our character is revealed when we radiate to the other person calm and assurance, even when we're not feeling calm and assurance. And our character is revealed when we let the other person know that we are never, ever giving up on you. We are always here with you and for you. That's character in the wilderness. So I remember one day, I was very nervous going to pay a shiva visit on a husband whose wife had died after 5 years with ALS. And ALS is a really horrific disease. And I thought to myself, what am I going to say to this loving husband whose wife just died from ALS after 5 years? And I'll never forget what he said. He said, this was many years ago, and it's so beautiful, I still remember it. He said, all the years of my marriage were just so beautiful. My wife was such an amazing human being. It was such a gift to be her husband. And it was especially a gift to be with her during these last 5 years of her illness. Every day that I was with her, every day that I could help her, that was an immense blessing. That's it. It's in the wilderness where our character is revealed and where our deepest blessings are experienced. And so it is January 7th tomorrow, and let's admit it, we are weary. Israel is weary. The world is weary. It's okay. Weariness, we can deal with it. May we keep on keeping on for Israel. May we keep praying for Israel. May we keep giving to Israel. May we keep going to Israel. May we keep making Israel at the very center of our hearts and of our lives. And may the love we show to Israel in our weariness be a continued blessing for Israel, for one another, for our own lives. Shabbat Shalom.